Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 26, TPMS, Tire Pressure Monitoring System. This system became mandatory. Actually, I'm not really sure what year it was. I'm going to say it was about 06 to 08 that it became mandatory. But tire pressure is actually really quite important. You have improper tire pressure on a car, you can potentially have some problems. Just real quick, the system basically, when they first came out, and I'm going to talk kind of more about BMW because that's what I know, but that's not to say that other manufacturers didn't follow the same kind of course of events or the way they produced the system. But you have what's called indirect reading and direct reading. Indirect is where, and this is what BMW started with, is they use the wheel speed sensors for each wheel that were already there because of ABS and traction control systems. So they use the wheel speed sensors to look at the wheel speed and compare it from one tire to the other on the same car. Because if tire pressure goes down on any one tire, that tire starts to now flatten out where it's rolling against the ground, against the road. The tire becomes less, the diameter of it starts to go down, the rolling radius of it begins to go down. Okay, so as a for instance, a tire that's getting lower in pressure will actually rotate faster versus a tire. Wow, is that right? Am I thinking correctly? It'll rotate faster because it's smaller diameter. So it's comparing one wheel speed against the other wheel speeds in the same car, okay? So it's not really directly looking at tire pressure. It's indirectly looking at it. That's what BMW originally started with. The direct system is where there's an actual pressure sensor within each tire. It has a battery, which has a life, and I'll talk about that in a bit here. But it is reading actual tire pressure, and then through a radio transmitter, it's transmitting that information from each tire to a central control unit, which is then looking at, well, how much pressure is in this tire and this tire and the other two tires as well, possibly maybe even the spare, although that's possibly debatable from one car manufacturer to another. There's a lot of cars now that don't even have a spare because of going to run flat tires. So they've gotten rid of the spare. So, like I say, there's either direct or indirect. There is a fault light on the car. It's mandated that it has to be there. That basically comes on if there is either a low tire situation or there's an actual fault in the system. The fault light itself, and this is an international symbol, so it should be the same in every car, regardless of country of origin, so on and so forth. It basically looks like a horseshoe that the bottom of it, so to speak, the closed end of the horseshoe, is kind of flat. It's not rounded. It's flat. It has little ridges on it, which, of course, is supposed to be trying to show the tread of the tire. And there's an exclamation mark in the center of the horseshoe. Okay, that is the international symbol for tire pressure monitoring system. And typically, again, it only comes on when there's a fault in the system. Okay. The funny part about it is that a recent survey was done. This is in regards to, you know, people not reading their owner's manual, not really knowing what these different fault lights mean. Okay, but I read this and I thought it was just kind of a funny little survey that is, it's not, in a way, it's not very funny. It's kind of a ha-ha, gee, that's interesting, but in some respects, it's not very funny. A survey was done where they surveyed millennials and Generation Z categories. So we're talking about basically the people that are between about 18 to 25 years old. They were shown a group of emojis, okay, and they were shown a tire pressure monitoring system fault light. They were 1.5 times more likely to correctly recognize a popular emoji than their TPMS fault light. Okay? So here they are driving their car, and this fault light comes on, and they have basically no idea what it means. And the car will continue to drive the same, at least for a while, unless their tire's going flat. They'll have no idea what it is. Okay? So one would hope that at that point they pull over, or maybe when they come to their next stop, they get their owner's manual out, assuming it's in the car, and they find out what that means. Sure, a lot of people do that. Some people call me up and go, Brad, what's this thing? And it looks like, and I said, that's your tire pressure monitoring system. You may have a low tire. So they don't even know what it means. So it goes back to, again, it's really important that you look at your, and read your owner's manual. In my many, many years of working on cars, I was originally trained as when I was first as a paid technician. The shop I happened to work at, we would check tire pressures typically on oil changes when we did like major services on a car, or if there was, we were doing it for diagnostic purposes. So let's say the car had some kind of pull or something. And as a, for instance, if you have low tire pressure on one front tire and the other tire pressure is fine, depending upon the difference between the two, the car will start to pull or turn towards the side of the car that has the lower tire pressure. Because one of the things that's happening is when you have lower tire pressure, you're increasing the rolling resistance of the tire. So it will pull the car to that side. So someone who says, you know, hey, my car has a pull, I think it needs an alignment, while they may be correct that it has a pull, they may be incorrect of what the cause of it is. It could be something as simple as low tire pressure. So certainly as a technician, when a car comes in, especially for diagnostic purposes like what I just described, one of the first things you're doing besides verifying the complaint is checking tire pressure, because that could be the whole problem. Okay. So tire pressures are very important. If they're not right, I mean, typically when cars come in and I'm checking tire pressures, invariably they will be too low. Okay. This is one reason why California State, I think it was September of 2010, repair shops, there's now a law where anytime we write a repair order, in other words, anytime we work on a car, we're supposed to be checking and or adjusting and verifying tire pressures. Now, the state of California only concerned about it was only, their only concern was environmentally, okay? Because another thing is that, again, if a tire pressure is low, you're increasing the rolling friction or the rolling resistance of the tire, which means it requires more engine power to propel that tire. If every tire on the car is low pressure, then you're using more gasoline. So in other words, it affects fuel mileage, it increases emissions, which is what the state of California was concerned about. If the tire pressure gets low enough, it affects the handling of the car, okay, to where you could be potentially in a situation where you're trying to avoid an accident, and because your tire pressure is so low, the car doesn't handle or respond the way it should normally, and so now you're involved in an accident that didn't really actually have to happen, okay? So it is important to check tire pressures, but low tire pressure, it affects tire wear. You get decreased fuel mileage. It can potentially cause poor handling. And like I say, to the point where it could actually possibly cause an accident. Okay. So it's really, really important. It's a basic, believe it or not, actually, in this country, the number one unperformed maintenance service in this country is tire pressure. Number two is oil changes. So in other words, doing an oil change when the manufacturer recommends it to be done at whatever mileage that may be. But the number one unperformed service in this country is tire pressure. So that means potentially there's a lot of cars running around out there with improper tire pressure. We all know about, you know, again, not to bring up bad news or be morbid. I'm certainly not discounting the lives that were lost and what people went through with that whole, like the Ford Explorer Firestone debacle. But bottom line is that that happened because Ford didn't want to fix something. And this is all in writing, by the way. There's documentation, engineering documentation, so on and so forth. But basically, Ford realized they had a potential rollover problem with their vehicles. And instead of modifying the suspension to make it less likely, they simply decided, well, if we lower the tire pressures, then the tire will become what's called more compliant. In other words, if you swerve, the tire will now tend to roll underneath itself. So the pivot point, if you think about it, you think about a car that is in the process of beginning to roll over on the side, it's pivoting off of either both the left side tires or the right side tires. So if you make that pivot point more compliant, in other words, if you make it mushier, i.e. lower tire pressure, okay, then it helps to lessen the likelihood of the vehicle actually rolling over. The problem is that Ford didn't talk to Firestone about what's the lowest tire pressure we can run on these tires and still be safe. There was no communication about that. So Ford decided to make their tire pressure specification less than what Firestone said it could be on that tire. And so by having too low of a pressure, you're increasing rolling resistance, which creates friction, which creates heat. And in this case, the tires delaminated. Okay, they came apart. They blew up. Okay, people lost control of the vehicle and had catastrophic effect from that point. And what was the root cause of all this? Low tire pressure. Okay, so at least do what the manufacturer says. And obviously, you know, 99.999% of the time, that's the right way to go. Whether you check the tire pressures yourself or you have someone do it for you, you definitely, you know, want to make sure that they are doing it. I think, you know, most shops today, and certainly like I say, in the state of California, it's mandatory. You can decline the service if you want, if you want to take care of it yourself. I will say, like on BMWs, I've got a couple customers that they feel the specification that BMW says is too high. I have one guy in particular that he says, if I run them up to that high a pressure, I'm going to get what he considers to be bad tire wear, which of course means he has to replace the tires more often. So he can decline to have me do it, and he can put them at whatever pressure he wants. It's up to him. But legally, it takes me off the hook from a liability standpoint. So, but the bottom line is that at least he's checking his tire pressure. He may not be putting it to the right amount, but it's his car, okay? So either do it yourself or definitely have someone do it. Tire pressure is really, really important. And, you know, like I say, it's not done as often as it should be. In regards to the direct reading tire pressure sensors, there is, you know, there's one train of thought in regards to just going ahead and replacing them every time you get new tires. Supposedly, the estimated life of the battery that drives that sensor or powers it is approximately 8 to 10 years or about 80 to 100,000 miles, okay? So obviously, right off the bat, and when you do that math, they're figuring you're averaging about 10,000 miles a year of driving. Well, national average of miles per year is 15,000. California happens to be 19,000. So if you go by mileage, it's going to be less than obviously 8 or 10 years are going to last. When that system first came out, the industry was kind of recommending new sensors and everything, new batteries and all that, every time you got tires replaced. I think they've kind of backed down from that. But, you know, certainly when you're pricing out tires, if you're calling around to different tire stores, you may want to ask them, well, does that include new sensors, yes or no? And kind of just see how they respond. They may go, well, no, we don't replace them on every time. You could ask them, well, when do you replace them? And they could say, well, when there's a problem. Well, okay. But how do they respond or how do they take care of it if they don't recommend them with tire replacement? You go ahead and get new tires. They haven't recommended new batteries or new tire pressure sensors. And 6 months later, you have one go bad. Well, the process to replace the battery is to remove the tire from the wheel. In other words, you know, dismount it, replace the sensor, put it back together again, mount and balance the tire. In other words, you're paying the same labor all over again that you already paid to have the tires replaced. Okay. So you may want to ask them about that and see how they respond. I don't do tire sales myself at my shop, so I can't tell you from, you know, I have no experience in what I choose to do. But I could see where tire shops wouldn't necessarily want to include them because obviously it increases the price of the tire replacement costs. And so they're looking at it as a competitive thing. They don't want to necessarily be, you know, someone calls them up and they're, whatever, $50 or $100 more than the supposedly same tires someplace else. And so it's hard to say. You definitely want to ask. And certainly if you've had the car for a while, and let's say you've already had one set of tires put on, and you're getting ready to put the second set on, you may want to check into it and say, look, you know, I've put X number of miles on these tires. I've had the car this much time. I'm kind of concerned about the battery life on the sensors. And there are tools that they can use that will tell them how much battery life is left. So you could potentially use that bit of information as a, you know, deciding, well, do I want to put new sensors on or not? Unfortunately, they can also become damaged just from kind of wear and tear, from corrosion. And again, the batteries can go bad. So, you know, food for thought. I leave that up to you, obviously. I'm not going to sit here and say you should get new tire pressure sensors every time. It really kind of partly depends on how many miles you drive a year, maybe the conditions, the road conditions you drive under. I would venture to guess that potentially back east with road salt and snow and ice and all that stuff, that it might be a lot harder on the tire pressure sensors. I live in the West Coast, so I don't know about those things. But you know, again, I leave it up to you. I'm at this point, I'm just trying to kind of inform you about the system. They generally are pretty reliable. You know, again, if I have a car that comes in that I realize there is a sensor issue, I can't really offer to the customer any fix. I can only tell them, look, you've got a bad tire pressure sensor. And, you know, maybe if they're going to need new tires anyway, then that they can get, you know, it's kind of the, two birds with one stone type deal. They're taking care of a couple issues, but I have also seen ones where the tires look relatively new, and I ask them, well, did you get new sensors when you had the tires put in? And they're almost like, either what sensors, or, well, no one ever told me about that, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, you know, food for thought. When you're shopping tires, check into that. Find out if they just normally want to replace them, or if it's on a case-by-case basis. They may say, well, we check the life of the battery and then we'll let you know, you know, what do we recommend? Okay. And again, they're not inexpensive. It's not like it's, you know, a couple bucks or whatever. They are expensive, unfortunately. So that's about it on this podcast. It was kind of a quickie. I just thought it'd be something to kind of good to talk about, you know, TPMS, and, you know, let you know about it, kind of the ins and outs real quick. Again, pretty reliable system, but they do have their issues from time to time. I hope you found this interesting. I hope that it's kind of increased your knowledge about your car and what to ask for when you're getting, you know, service work done. And as usual, if you want to get a hold of me, email is bkpodcast5@gmail.com. Wherever you got this from, as far as if you've downloaded the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, by all means, if you want to leave a comment, please do so, good or bad. I read them all, and certainly I'll respond to you. If you have an idea for a subject on a podcast, you know, please, again, you know, let me know. I am, you know, this is podcast number 26. I've actually done some that I haven't released yet, so I may have already covered it possibly in a future podcast, but maybe not. Always looking for ideas. I mean, frankly, a lot of these podcast subjects and titles I've gotten from the different discussions I've had with customers over these last almost 40 years of working on cars. So, but I don't think of everything. You know, again, there might be something that maybe is an interest to you. And if it sounds good, I will definitely, if I need to do research, I will do that and put together a podcast. And there you go. I'll even give you credit for it if it comes out that way. I'll mention your name that, hey, thanks to so-and-so. And here's a podcast for everybody to hopefully increase their knowledge about their car and increase the value you get out of it and be safe while you drive. So hope you found this interesting, and appreciate you listening. Thank you for your time. I hope you have a great day and a great next week. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.